welcome to the broadcast. Today we continue in our series looking at the subject of discouragement and disappointment. Things go normal, and they probably will, we're going to face some situations, some circumstances which are disappointing and which are discouraging. You'll probably face some of those today or tomorrow. Every one of us are going to be facing them as we go through life. We can let them control us, or we can let the Holy Spirit have control. It's simply a decision. We said that disappointment is the feeling of sadness or displeasure that is caused by the non-fulfillment of our expectations. Well, that's going to happen. However, discouragement is a different subject altogether, and discouragement, we have to decide whether we're going to be discouraged or not. Nobody can discourage me but me. I have to let them do it. And discouragement is to lose confidence or enthusiasm, usually as a result of disapproval. Well, these circumstances are going to come along. Some circumstances we have control over. Some circumstances we have no control over. The last couple of years for me have been filled with circumstances of which I have no control over, which have been very disappointing, and they could be, if allowed, they could be very discouraging. Well, Paul the Apostle gave us the secret to all that. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So he wasn't saying, well, I've come to the place where I'm such a great Christian that I have the victory over this thing. He understood the fact that he had two natures, the old nature and the new nature. And he went on to say there in Romans 7, he says, the will is present with me. But he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. And, oh, who will deliver me from this wretched flesh, he said. And by the way, he went on to answer that question. And he said in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I know how. He said, I have learned. I know how, and I am instructed. Somebody wrote a message and song that says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. The song says, take my voice and let me give whatever messages that God has for me to give. It says, take my silver and my gold, take my interests. And it says also, take myself. That's the mind, the will, and the emotions. Let them all be, the songwriter says, for thee. Listen to this message and song. Make it your prayer.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose, every power as thou shalt choose.
In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, we mentioned before some of the situations he went through. He listed in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he was whipped 5 times, beaten with rods 3 times, went through what he called painfulness, shipwreck 3 times. Then he said in journeyings and in dungeons and false brethren, there's a discouraging thing. Hunger and thirst. He couldn't go along and, you know, he didn't have a motorhome and stop every once in a while and make himself a coffee. It was a rough time for Paul the Apostle. There was one day when he escaped through a window in a basket because a bunch of people said they wouldn't eat or drink until they killed him. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He continued, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Interesting that he says I, that's referring to himself, and the sentence ends with me. Boy, it looks like you're focusing on yourself. That's not what it is. Right in the center of that verse is the word Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notice it says which strengtheneth me and not who strengtheneth me. Doing all these things through Christ added to his strength. It's a very interesting portion of Scripture. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, contentment is simply the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside that shows on the outside. It is submitting to God's will, to God's way, and to God's when, or when God's timing, letting God do what he wants to do with our lives. Now, in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 14 through 15, as we've read before, he said, I am carnal. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. He wasn't spiritual as some of us think we are. But he went on to say, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now, the Bible talks about two different kinds of sorrow in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. It says, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And there's that sorrow, which is a godly sorrow. And Paul says, this situation, this carnality that I have to deal with, it led him to a godly sorrow. He was also sorry about the fact that more people were not getting saved, and we should be as well. He went on to say, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And he says in Romans 8 and 1, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, in me, he said, there's no good thing. In Christ, he said, verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation." So Paul had that old nature, as you and I do. He had a constant struggle, but however, the victory was his, because through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, they work together. The Bible says, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance." It would be interesting to do a study and see whether there isn't more verses about Christians repenting in the Bible than there is about unsaved people repenting. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Again, in Romans 7, verse 18, Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Now, what he's saying here is, I don't discover it or perceive how to do this by chance. I don't just find it. You know, you can talk about walking along the sidewalk and say, "Wow, as I was going through life here, I just found myself a $100 bill on the sidewalk." That's one way to find things, but that's not what he's talking about here. It's another way of finding things is to get into the Word of God and study it, and let the Word of God get into us and study us. And godly sorrow worketh repentance, the Bible says, to salvation. And as we've said many times before, the word salvation is not always talking about going to heaven. It's being saved from the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the things that we have to deal with that battle with the old flesh. Paul is saying here, I don't just discover the victory or perceive how to do this by chance. It's a byproduct, the victory that he had when he said, "I have learned, I know how, I am instructed to be content in whatever situation I am in." It is a byproduct of letting the Word of God get in us as we get in the Word of God. And the byproduct to that is contentment in whatever state we are in. Well, as we mentioned, we're going to go through circumstances this week. We're going to go through some trials and some situations, and the Bible gives us the total directions on how to have the victory in these things. Some of those circumstances, we said, are uncontrollable. Some of them are controllable. We have a story in Luke chapter 10 of Martha going through some circumstances, and she's all upset because Mary won't help her get supper ready. And Jesus said in verse number 41 of Luke chapter 10, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Well, Vine's expository dictionary on this portion of scripture says the word "careful" here signifies to be anxious about or to have a distracting care. The word "troubled" means to be agitated, an agitation of the mind because something is regarded as being unsatisfactory. Well, we're going to get all bent out of shape every time something unsatisfactory seems to come along in our mind. We're going to be all bent out of shape all the time. We look in the book of Psalms and we see David going through some serious, uncontrollable circumstances. And he said in Psalm 42:11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Yeah, well, that's what we need to do when we go through those situations that we have no control over. How can we do that? Well, Ephesians 5:26 talks about the washing of water by the Word. Regardless of the circumstances, Paul could say in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Years ago, Martin Luther wrote the poem, "For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for lack of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. Trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever, for though all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever." Once again, the secret is in this message, in this hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." We'll listen to it again. Make it your prayer.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me take my